Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The state Senate began its deliberations on the state budget this week after the House passed a spending plan that gives teachers and state employees a 2% raise and leaves most of the budget cuts made in recent years in place. Representative Verla Insko voted against the House budget, and she's worried the Senate proposal will be even worse for education and human services, and she joins us now to talk about it. Representative Insko, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start with the big news of the last week or two in the General Assembly. The House passed a budget. You voted against it. I want to ask you some specific details, but overall, why did the plan fall short of where you thought we needed to be?
Overall, we're still so far behind. I think that's maybe the main reason. But there were some serious, I thought, omissions and changes that were unnecessary. I'm still very concerned about the additional cuts to the university system. I think the cut that we made, the $42 million that'll come out over these 2 years, will bring that to over $700 million. We also are transferring more public tax dollars to charter schools and vouchers. And there's some omissions, was mainly ignoring, again, the child care subsidy and funding for people who are mentally ill. Our prison population of mentally ill is increasing every year. We're actually opening a 72-bed mental health facility in Central Prison and 8 clinics, mental health clinics. That most of those people shouldn't even be in prison. They should be treated in the community. We know the problem. We haven't come up with a plan to fix it, and we should.
The budget did get some bipartisan support, which has led the House leadership to, I guess, tout this budget as the best one that Republicans have passed and a budget that'll begin to fill in some of the gaps. But you don't think it fills in enough?
Well, there are some good things in this budget. And I agree with him. This is the best budget that has been passed under a Republican majority. But it's based on a 6% increase in tax revenue next year. And I don't know anyone that actually thinks that that's feasible. I expect to see significant changes and reductions when the budget comes back to us from the Senate. So I think some of this is just feel good. It would be wonderful if it stays in. I'll be really happy about that. But I think some of that was mainly to get it passed. I do think that this is a more moderate budget than we've had in the past. I'm glad for that. In the past years, our budget's done much more damage than this one does.
One of the provisions in the budget sets aside some money for Medicaid reform. There's a lot of discussion. This is an issue that you've been in the middle of for a long time in the General Assembly. I guess, first of all, what did you think about setting aside some money for Medicaid reform, and where do you think we are with that?
I'm hearing that we will see a bill come from the House with more detail in the next week or so. And it probably will be for a provider-led organization that still maintains the medical home model with the Community Care Network of North Carolina. I have two concerns about it. One is that when you move to a capitated system where you're giving block grants to provider-led organizations, big provider-led organizations, you also have to be able to bundle the payments to the providers, because if providers continue to bill fee-for-service, and they're just billing the provider-led organizations to the state, you still haven't removed the incentive to provide care to get money. And then the other one is that we need to have quality standards in place. The Medicare quality standards are very good, and I'm not sure why we're not just adopting those. But once again, I think the Senate will send back a proposal for commercial managed care, out-of-state commercial managed care. And my greatest concern is that we would have a hybrid, that we would have commercial managed care companies competing with our provider-led organizations, which would be much smaller, have much smaller capitalization. And I'm not sure that would be fair competition.
How do you put this in the context, I guess, of a couple things happening? One is we have a new Medicaid director in North Carolina. It's the third one, I think, in about 2.5 years under the McCrory administration. And with all the pressure to join a lot of other states and actually expand Medicaid.
Yes, and I've always thought that we would expand Medicaid. Many states do it in tandem with their reform, and they actually are able to use the new money that comes in to help them. They don't have to appropriate money. There's enough new money that comes in that they can actually use Medicaid expansion to help them do reform and build it together at the same time. I'm not sure why we didn't choose to go that route. But I do think that we will expand Medicaid once we get things in place.
How much of the rhetoric that we hear about Medicaid being broken and all the problems we have, do you think is part of the opposition to Medicaid expansion? How do you think the general public should interpret all this?
It's a myth. Medicaid's not broken, never was broken. It was growing, but not at the same rate of other states. Our administrative costs were among the lowest in the nation. Our growth rate was the lowest in the nation in most years. And we have a very rich package, and we have a very good Medicaid system here. We do need to get control over the increasing cost, but a lot of that is based on new drugs that come out, things that we don't really control. So there are pockets of problems around, but they won't all be solved by Medicaid managed care. What happens when you have managed care come in is that they save money by cutting provider rates. They can cut optional services and do other restrictions, limit the drugs that people are allowed to get, and that destroys your system. It doesn't really build it. So I think it'll take time. Healthcare is changing all the time, and I think you always have to be reforming it. It's not an event. It's a process that goes on all the time.
I want to come back to, you mentioned the UNC budget has been cut now more than $700 million. The Board of Governors has set up a procedure to hold public hearings to look for a successor to Tom Ross. You represent Orange County and Chapel Hill. What do you make of what's happening at the university system, not only the budget cuts, but the change in leadership?
Well, I think people are very worried. It's the unknown. The rhetoric, the comments that are made sound like they want another Tom Ross. But if they didn't like Tom Ross, we don't know what kind of person they're going to get. And historically, you know, we've had people who've had deep roots in North Carolina history. I watched the UNC TV Generation of Change video last night, and those were intentional decisions that were made, were to build our university system and collaborate in order to build our economy. And so much of our economy has come out of research that's gone on in the university that I think that we're all worried that the gains that we've made over the last 50 years will either be stopped or reversed if we don't get the right person in that leadership position. Those leadership positions are critical. Frank Porter Graham, Bill Friday, that generation that really intentionally said, we're going to change North Carolina, and they did it. And we need to continue that path of innovation and not pull back to lower paying jobs and less skilled jobs. I think that's a concern.
Well, Representative Insko, thanks for all you're doing in Raleigh and in North Carolina to stop that from happening. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
Up next, a chance for the public to weigh in on the state's new voter ID law. Stay with us.